Good morning and welcome to the Protector Show with security expert Ed Johnston. During the show, Ed and his guests will be discussing ways to stay safe at home, at the office, online, even in your vehicle. Ed's website is apisecurity.us, and you can reach his office directly at 614-310-1980. Thank you for listening to The Protector Show. Good Friday morning, and thank you for listening to The Protector Show with security expert Ed Johnston. This is Adam Lepp, producer and co-host of today's program. Nice to see the weather's a little warmer than it was earlier this week, but regardless of the weather, of the season, or almost anything else, security is a top priority. Whether you're a homeowner, a renter, you drive, or usually a passenger, it's important to stay secure and stay safe and do it in a cost-efficient manner. And as I see it, security also is an interesting field. And being a technologist of sorts, I've seen so many technological advances in security in my lifetime, and especially in the last 10 years. First, I want to welcome the host of our program, Ed Johnston. Ed, good morning. How are you today?
Morning, Adam. I'm doing great. Thanks again for allowing me the opportunity and listeners to talk about security. Once again, some of the topics we're going to talk about today is some scams going on in the last week or two. Plus, we're going to talk a little bit about technology. And like anything, I think when we talk about crime and security, we always come back to crime stats. And there is some stats that I do want to share with you, the listeners. And it's interesting how we feel that we're safe within our homes, and sometimes to the point that today or yesteryear you could feel to a point you could keep your doors unlocked. But like any community, the crime has increased, and even going to those public places, Adam, if we're talking about to a restaurant, mall, even to a library, can you figure that you could be a victim of crime?
Yeah, hard to believe, Ed. Places we thought were almost like a sanctuary. You never quite know. And ironically, sometimes the places you think are safest are least safe and vice versa. It kind of reminds me of driving, where sometimes you think, well, the freeway isn't safe because you're driving 70 miles an hour. But many times that's safer than driving around the block because you have kids and pets, might be running in front of the car. Cars parked. And as we've seen, the snow isn't treated quite as well on a side street. So with anything, you're never totally sure exactly where you're safest, where you'll be most efficient. And it's good to take a look at statistics and always keep both eyes and both ears open. That's probably the best way to say it. And I think an informed customer is a smart customer.
That's true. And let's just talk briefly about churches. If everyone recalls back in November of last year, where the gunman killed more than 20 people at the First Baptist Church, CNN did a study. And what the study found is due to unwelcome and mentally ill individuals, there was a 17% increase in church shootings from an attacker that was unwelcomed or that was rejected from a church. And now it seems like some churches need security, and that's something that we have worked with on occasion. Now, some of the most interesting statistics from the CNN was that there's been in the last, since 1999 till the present, there's been over 1,600 deadly force incidents within worship mosques or synagogues. And that out of that, between robberies and homicides, because of domestic partners, there was a 16% increase. And then with personal conflicts, just between individuals, 14% was a part of that. With what the study talks about, Adam, is that there was 10% of homicides within the worship centers. And that from 2006 to 2016, there were over 147 church shootings nationally.
That's quite alarming. You would think that if there was anywhere that you would be safe, it would be in a church. and the chill went through my bones. Over 100, that is quite alarming.
Yeah, I mean, once again, we're talking about it from a national statistics, but then let's just talk about later on about local statistics, and that gets even more interesting. But one of the last things that that most of these individuals think of is that from a convenience standpoint, and the attacker, going back to that November incident, how many generations and individuals that individual took out within minutes of that attack. And we just don't think about that when we attend church or those places that are public. And like anything, we should always be aware of our surroundings. We should always be reporting to church staff or to law enforcement, once again, what you see. And even if it's something that's just out of the ordinary, it should be reported. Because that's where we usually lack, is that reporting. And usually afterwards, Adam, someone will say, well, I thought that was kind of odd with that individual or that person I've never seen before. And I think that we just need to be more aware public in those areas.
I think with church, we like the idea that everybody is welcome. People you may not agree with on some levels, and that church is a happy, positive experience. But I guess the counterpoint is that when everybody is welcome, you may not know everybody's background. And what do you do? We have security checks almost everywhere, it seems. Do we need better security checks at church? Should we investigate anybody who walks through the doors? That would seem kind of harsh, but again, people's safety is most important, not to mention the safety of the minister.
That is true. And once again, the ministers and laity, as well as trustees, should always be talking about security. If it's not on a monthly level, on a quarterly level, and like anything, go through some kind of drills of what would you do in those particular situations. One additional statistic that the CNN comes back with is that there were 250 incidents in 2015-2016. As of August of last year, there are already 147 incidents. And that is alarming with how quickly those incidents are increasing, as well as when we talk about the conveniences, it's also the grudges. And what was ironic about that Texas incident was that person never stepped into that church before. It was a mother-in-law that had attended. She had not attended that particular day. And that individual, thinking that the mother-in-law was going to be in there, ended up with the most horrific attack ever in our nation's history.
So many reasons why there might be a gunman at church. We hate to think about something like this. Again, we think of church as being a peaceful place and a positive experience for everybody. But security is something we have to think about, unfortunately, 24 hours a day. And certainly we might expect that a security issue at a church might be like a security issue at a workplace where there's a disgruntled ex-employee or disgruntled parishioner, disgruntled family member of a choir member or the minister, many scenarios.
So the solution, Adam, is this, even in my own church, is always have a designated person, if it's a volunteer or individuals, that can always monitor security, monitor individuals' activities, and just be that person to account for. But even on another note is, let's just say one of the individuals attending church all of a sudden has a health issue. That person can also help in that area and or monitor cameras if you have a camera set up. But have a strategy in place. It never hurts to at least know what you're going to do, who's going to do it, and when it needs to be accomplished.
So not just concerns about crime, but medical concerns, again, fires, things that can occur almost anywhere. At your church, at case in point, you said you have a designated person. Any other suggestions or things that you've done at the church that you go to?
Oh, absolutely. We have a daycare center, as well as a learning center. And we have, just like schools, set up where you have to be buzzed in and out during the weekly days, with Sundays. There's an individual that's usually monitoring the cameras and monitoring individuals coming and going. And that sense of feeling secure helps when people are attending in this day and age.
We just hate to think that wherever we go, we're going to have to deal with security. But it's a fact of life, and you want to feel, again, safe in a place like a church. And it's just part of our society, I think.
It is. And just in this last week, we just completed another camera system for a church. And their main mission was just to have cameras outside the building at the entrances, just to be able to monitor who's coming in and out. And like anything, looking at step one, step two, where eventually if they want other cameras, then everything's set up to be able to install those cameras with the existing system.
Are there ways, Ed, to do a security audit for our listeners to take a look at their church and see exactly if there is proper security and a disaster plan in case the unthinkable might happen?
Well, what I found within churches is usually you have a group of trustees, and those trustees are responsible for the overall building. I know I don't want to utilize this whole program about talking about churches because there is a early discussion before on this, but the emphasis is, as I always share with congregations, is you really need a key decision maker. It's great to do a security survey, but if you don't have a key decision maker or someone that can really implement, you have a lot of volunteers. And what I've found in all my years is implementing a lot of different great ideas, but then it's the execution that usually just never gets followed through with.
So follow through on what the suggestions are and what you're noticing, and be sure that you're regularly updating and making sure that you're doing the best thing that you can.
Like anything, it's the point of having it set up with policies and procedures, and then testing those policies and procedures, even during a church service, would be very helpful.
And if our listeners have any questions, let them know a good way to get in contact with you for some more very valuable tips on security at church.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. Once again, email address is info@apisecurity.us and or the phone number 614-310-1980, extension 3.
You are listening to The Protector Show with security expert Ed Johnston and producer and co-host Adam Lepp. Good morning. Thank you so much for listening. Ed, you brought over, as we were getting ready to do the show, a sheet about some crime statistics in Marion, and some of them are a little bit surprising. Go ahead and share with our listeners what you think we should know in terms of how much crime occurs in Marion and how to prevent it.
Well, like anything, Adam, it's phenomenal with what you can pull out on a website and or Google. But some interesting statistics that go back for a number of years was that property crime back in 2012, and I know these are older statistics, was at 1,893 property crimes. When we're talking about forcible rape, was 14 in that same year. Robberies was at 48. Burglaries, 851. Aggravated assault was at 33. When we're talking about larceny thefts, that was over 990. Motor thefts, 45. And arsons was at 10. I know that there's newer statistics. Like anything, I challenge my viewers, listeners, to go out there and find out what's going on in your neighborhood. And there's some websites that you can go and do that. And like anything, go through the Marion County Sheriff's Department or the Marion City Police Department to find out what those stats are within your neighborhood.
Ed, our listeners should not be afraid to contact the Sheriff's Department, Police Department. Ask about crime statistics. I think one thing people do, I know I did this when I bought my house, is find out about your neighborhood. has it changed? Some areas get better, some get worse. Some of the statistics are more complete than others, and maybe because it's a newer neighborhood or there's been some changes, new businesses, et cetera, a new highway. Is that a good idea? Do you recommend somebody before moving into somewhere, especially a new city? Contact law enforcement, ask about crime stats, and as well as look it up on the internet.
Yeah, and a few other tips is to even know who your neighbors will be, and sometimes even knocking on the door of your neighbor and talking to them, asking them some general questions. Before you want to move in, you want to at least know who you're going to be living beside, as well as is that somewhere you want to move to.
So good food for thought, and just don't be afraid to ask, as we need to be secure. As I say, a person's home is his or her castle, and castles should be secure. You should never have to worry about it, whether it's 2 p.m. or 2 a.m.
Absolutely. And it's always nice when you can feel that comfort level of you've made the right decision and you're going the right direction and where you want to live.
Anything else on the docket for today, Ed? You certainly are a wealth of knowledge on security. And again, since security and technology often go together, it's certainly piqued my interest in many ways. But security is a very serious topic.
It is. And I think, once again, having the listeners to ask questions is always helpful, and then I can bring those topics along. Now, one additional that I've learned in the last week is scammers. And for our listeners, if anyone that calls you and says they are an IRS agent and that they need to have you resolve a tax bill, they're actually asking for personal information over the phone, and you just need to hang up and just make that phone call to the local authorities that has occurred. No IRS agent will call you to ask for any personal information. And just to reiterate that anything that would ever come from the IRS would come through the mail, or they would personally knock at your door and ask for their identification. But do not go with being scammed with a phone call from the IRS or anyone else asking for personal information. I just hang up and I move on.
And certainly in 2018, all of the resources available to the scammer, the internet obviously, just taking a look at community statistics and who owns what house, many ways to, so to speak, get in the door. Even though the method they use would often be a telephone call. And one thing to keep in mind is the cost of a telephone call or an email is essentially zero versus the cost of a stamp or sending somebody out there to knock on your door. So they do things in the way that's efficient to them. And as I've said on previous shows, if one person out of 1,000 falls for the scam, they're probably going to make some money. So don't be that one person in 1,000. Put these guys out of business.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam, I know you had some information or want to talk about electronics. What were you thinking?
Right. Certainly, again, as I've mentioned, technology is and security kind of go hand in hand. Technology is in pretty much everything we do. Like cars, for example, just think about how computerized they are, warning lights and buzzers and sensors for just about everything. But in the security business, Ed has been in security, again, about 40 years, quite amazing, pretty much his entire adult life. And certainly we've seen many changes since the late 70s. You mentioned your first job in security, Ed, was kind of doing on-site watching of the shoppers at a Sears store, which was called, I guess, Sears Roebuck at that time, and making sure nobody was shoplifting or doing anything else that would be considered bad. Of course, nowadays we still have in-store people, plain-clothed generally. We have uniform security, which might be at the front of a store or a mall or what have you. And we have all kinds of fancy cameras and recording devices. Maybe in this 40 years, Ed, obviously there's still security and some of the same kind of security we had back in the 70s. But at a typical department store, what are some of the things that haven't changed much in security since you got into the business, and some things that have not only not necessarily changed a lot, but maybe something totally unheard of back in the 70s?
Well, I think with anything relating to technology, Adam, that one thing I can at least share with listeners, and I actually have a cousin in Marion that's taking care of her mother, and the concern is that her mother walking off because she can't recall, or if you call it dementia, and that's been a very big concern on my cousin's bucket list with dealing with. And what we have to offer is a small little unit that is a GPS unit that can be put in a pocket or as put around your neck, and if that individual kind of strolls off, you can go ahead and pull where that person is off the internet with seeing exactly where that person is within about 500 feet. And that's a pretty neat unit. Now, the other thing is, there's actually a two-way communication that's the size of a key fob, Adam, and that the unit, by a press of a button, you can go two-way anywhere in the United States with that unit and get help. And it's a phenomenal technology that is a panic/GPS unit at a very inexpensive cost. And the neat thing is being able to identify where that person is and or identify if someone pushes it, they can get help.
So it's quite amazing what we can do with GPS, not just Google Maps and things that might tell us someone's location on Facebook. You know, it's, sometimes if I drive around, it'll say, Joe Smith is nearby. And that's maybe a little spooky, but a little cool at the same time. Maybe you want to grab a cup of coffee with this guy. You never quite know. But the idea that we can use it to possibly save the life of an elderly friend or relative is quite excellent. No other way to say it. And this is something that you think almost any elderly person with medical issues or any handicapped person who has the possibility of a medical emergency at any time, is this something that really can help save some lives? Is it really one of the best maybe revelations in security since you've been in the business?
It is. It's something that I've traveled to different parts of the country and even international to find this particular unit. I know a lot of individuals have the portable units where if you stay around the house and if you fall, that you can get immediate help. But this unit goes beyond that, Adam, and that's where I've not seen anyone else really be able to offer something like that to our loved ones.
One thing also to keep in mind is this unit, I would assume, should be sold and serviced by a professional. You don't buy it from an ad in the newspaper. That there are certain needs. We want to take a look at the company that's not only producing it, but marketing it, that providing training and support. What's the warranty? So where you get it from is probably just as important as what the item does.
That's true. And like anything, you don't want to purchase something that isn't going to work the way that you thought it would work. And that's a part of technology, is making sure to do enough research, ask enough questions, and make sure that that device does work, or at least know if you have a trial period to try it out, that you still have a decision to decline it.
Just like we mentioned that you shouldn't be afraid to call your police department or sheriff when you move somewhere or get a job in an unfamiliar neighborhood, don't be afraid to talk to the owner, a high-level manager of a security company selling this item. They have nothing to hide. I mean, just call Ed and ask about what his company, API Security, can offer. He'll not only welcome the call, he'll be flattered that you're interested in knowing more about the device. As I said, an informed consumer is a smart consumer and one that will get more bang for the buck and better efficiency out of any kind of a device.
That's true. And like anything, when we're talking about different types of technology, that's at the top of the list with other technologies, with how inexpensive these technologies are, with being able to connect your phone via through a camera system or via through a security system. Like anything, making sure that the communications are set up correctly and that it's working overall. The last thing you want to do is get something set up and then it fails when you need it the most. I had a recent friend that's had a lot of problems with his internet service, and every time we set it up, then he takes off Florida, and then all of a sudden his internet goes down and he can't do anything remotely. And safeguarding those ways that those devices will work properly when you want it the most.
Reminds me how we talked about a battery backup for my sump pump on a previous show. Have a backup plan for the internet service, even from the best companies. Even for a computer tech like myself can go down or have some kind of a problem. But get a plan together. Don't let Murphy's Rule ruin your vacation when you're in Florida, perhaps, and you want to go on your phone and look at your camera. You find out the internet's not working. Get a plan together to make sure that it's available for you virtually 100% of the time. And that's something we have to do with technology. Have a backup plan, because no technology is perfect by any means. As also mentioned on previous show, Ed, camera technology has not only gotten much less expensive, but gotten much better, much smarter. And with the internet, it allows you, as we said, go to your phone, press a couple buttons, launch an app, and you can take a look at your security cameras, even if they're on the other side of the country. How much has that changed since the 70s? Did we even have anything close back then? We didn't have smartphones and apps, but did we have anything close to this when you started in security in the late 70s?
Well, when we're talking about the late 70s, the computers were filling rooms back then. And that if there was any kind of camera, it was just at its formation of how it was working with analog recording devices, and with the big VCR tapes. With what technology today is that a lot of people, Adam, like to talk about wireless, and I always ask, well, okay, wireless is great, but how's the power going to get to it? And when you have a storm come through, are you still going to have the same quality if it was hardwired? And one thing I always suggest with all clients is have everything hardwired. Make sure there's a backup for electricity. And the last thing with wireless is, do you have to change batteries? And I'm still not a big fan of wireless, but I can say from the camera field, I would stay away from wireless cameras. Now, when we're talking about the Wi-Fi IP cameras, that's still dependent upon Wi-Fi. And like anything, Wi-Fi does go down, and then you have no picture. I was just talking to a friend of mine about an hour ago, and we were talking about a popular doorbell that when someone comes up, you can see them through your phone. And I said, well, that's great, but what about packages? You know, can you record on that same device and store it? And you can't. So you can see someone run off, but then what about retrieving? Like anything, you still have to have that hard drive to be able to record. So like anything, kind of line out what you're looking for, ask questions, and make sure that if you're going to make a $200 investment on a doorbell, it's going to do more than just ring or you get to see someone take off.
So definitely, as I said, be an informed shopper. Don't be afraid to ask your salesperson questions. Don't be afraid to post something online. There's always some smart person who seems to know an answer. Watch product videos and also check and see what the warranty is, because sometimes you just might not be satisfied with what you got. That does tend to happen more often than we probably think it does. Could you give maybe an era, Ed, or maybe a year when you think that technology kind of turned the tables and became at the forefront of security versus, you know, the computers as big as the studio that you had back in the 70s? You know, now you can fit almost on a fingertip. You can fit a computer chip that's more powerful than a whole room full of computers. Maybe it's a particular year or a certain era where the tables became turned and we had all this fancy technology that was kind of a prediction of what we have in 2018 and beyond.
Technology, statistically, Adam, changes about every 18 months. And that would have been about 15 years ago. What I'm finding now is about every 6 months, technology's changing. And what is new today is obsolete by the end of the year. Or all of a sudden, you can no longer service it or maintain it. Look at Windows, where it's been.
I guess we could say the minute we think that we've had a revolution in technology, voila, something fancier comes down the pike. So kind of a tricky question there, kind of hard to answer, but certainly every year you could take a look at some updates, some changes. In this 40-year time span, Ed, that you've been in technology and security and you've seen the cameras and other methods of keeping an eye on things, could you give maybe a couple years where there was a highlight, something that really came out that you thought was just really cool and helpful that made your job easier and more effective?
That's about a two-level question there. If I would say the particular year would have been back in 1983 with cameras, and the next piece was within technology would have been about 1995 when the you could then start your websites and being able to develop websites themselves, and that was a new way to do business. If we look at the 2000s with the lines of resolution, it seemed like every year lines of resolution of a camera became more clear. You can almost now with IP cameras, it's so real you can almost feel like you can touch somebody with how fine the camera and the lines of resolution on the monitor is.
So 35 years ago is when kind of turned the tables on cameras and they became something, again, just remotely resembling what we have here in 2018. So and then almost two generations. So kind of interesting to see how much we've advanced since then. And back when websites came into play again, mid-90s, when they became somewhat popular, again, 23 years ago. And I remember looking at a website for the first time, and even someone like myself, I was quite amazed. And every day we get more amazed by what we can see on a website, but still, there's always the human factor, and no computer is going to be as smart as a human being, at least not at this point. Maybe we'll talk again, and that'll be wrong, but at this point, computers just do repetitive tasks. They aren't smart like people, but they can do those tasks very, very quickly. And with current technology and security, Ed, we're combining the websites and, of course, now apps with the cameras. Whereas you said, you can take a look at your cameras, whether you're on the other side of the world, on your phone, and the quality is very good. On technology that you can fit in your hand versus technology that filled up this whole room and still wasn't as powerful. So that's quite incredible.
You know, you keep asking the challenge question, when? And I'd say it was probably the 90s is when I received my first computer and being able to do everything on a computer, be able to store everything on a computer. The other part of that mid-90s was the bag phones, and then the flip phones was about that time period. And last but least is dial-up to be able to remotely view a camera. It was about 96 was my first test unit to be able to dial up a camera remotely. And if you remember the old AOL where you'd have to hear this long tone before you could finally communicate to someone. It was the same way with remote cameras back in the mid-90s. And I was probably one of the first persons that tested one of those out within the Columbus area and actually installed it in two different stores. And the biggest complaint was, if everyone recalls, is how long it took to finally connect to someone or finally be able to see that time and that lapse of time. And it was pretty funny back then.
So you dialed in with a dial-up modem, something which is maybe a generation old. And I think anybody who's at least 35 or 40 certainly has used one in the past, but we're so used to having broadband. But dial-up still exists. In some areas, it may be a good solution. But here in mid-central Ohio, we're lucky to have some very good internet providers available at a good cost. And just think how we've advanced. Or as we would, although we still could use dial-up, it's kind of pointless. We would use the internet and use IP addresses.
Yeah, I also tested, and it's kind of funny, but I tested a new security system came out about that same time period where I thought it was pretty cool where you could say front door open, rear door open, motion activated. And it was a talking security system, Adam. And I installed a total system for a home back at that time period. I says, hey, test it out. You're a friend of mine, and just test it out. Tell me how you think. Within a week, they called and said, rip it all out. It was driving them nuts. Every time they'd hear the front door, it would say open, and this voice. And all they could hear was this voice, you know, front door open, rear door open. They said by the end of the day, it was driving them nuts.
Yeah, we still have those, and I agree. It's a little annoying, kind of like the GPS where it says, often in a fake British accent or something else, just sounds overly corny, make a right turn in 500 feet. And I don't think I need that. You know, I like reading maps anyway, so it's invasive, not to mention annoying. Plus, it could be dangerous because you might be listening to that voice instead of hearing somebody honk their horn or an ambulance siren. But I don't know if we need this voice. Again, if you have a visual handicap, it certainly could be valuable. I want to mention that also. But for many people, maybe just the usual beeps or the keypad or something you can check on your phone might do the trick. But it certainly is a matter of personal preference. And that's one nice thing about security also, Ed. It can be customized. There's no one size fits all. And someone like yourself with all of your experience and knowledge and security at your own home and business, you kind of know what to look for. And you can usually analyze somebody's needs based upon age, occupation, where they live, etc. But everybody has specific needs, and you want to address those. That's why it's good to have a security professional. Tell you about the item, service it, tell you about the warranty information, tell you about any upgrades or possibly any recalls or any problems versus just buying something out of an ad and installing it yourself.
Well, you've kind of talked about that several times during this broadcast, and the thing is this, when we're talking about research, is that when you buy something online and, you know, going through those reviews, I always tell persons this, is that any security company out there, it's not always going to be the same price. But when you buy directly from a security company versus buying online, it's such a huge difference because at least then you have that quality of a company as well as those individuals that will assure everything goes right. In this day and age, it seems like everybody wants to do their own thing, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, how much more time do you spend on trying to do it yourself versus letting a professional handle it themselves?
So YouTube videos and figuring things out on your own has its place, but you don't really want to skimp on security. And an ethical company, when one like API Security, will tell you what needs to occur, provide a fair price, maybe not the lowest price, but it's very fair for what you're getting, and will be available with any questions. As my mama always said, the only stupid question is a question not asked.
Well, Adam, you're exactly right, and I'll give you a perfect example. This last week, there was a storefront that was a home, but it was also being rented, and it was considered a commercial. And I told this individual that you really need a fire system. Right now, the fire department was kind of sharing with her what she needed to do. And I finally told her, I says, this is what you need. You need to make a decision if you want to do this or not. Well, she kept going back and forth saying, well, I don't need it. I says, yeah, you need it. But you don't need to buy it from me, but you need it. And these are the reasons why. And I was telling my tech at the time, he says, you know, we can walk away from this. It's not like that we need to do something that someone thinks that is not needed. But this is the logic is, how many times have you met someone that needs really to get the business and versus someone's going to be a professional saying, you need it, but hey, if you don't want to do it, then that's fine. And that's the kind of approach that I go with on security.
also professional approach from a company with a long line of satisfied customers. You can't really skimp on that. And if you aren't satisfied, call a different company. Make the best decision for yourself as a home or business owner. Ed, we really appreciate these shows. I've learned a lot. I claim I don't know everything. And technology or not, I enjoy your little stories. I mean, that's probably my favorite part of the show, if you have to ask me. But I like hearing about the statistics and about technology, your perspective as a general manager of a company which does many different things, and some things I didn't think about, like that GPS-enabled a panic alarm. Got about 4 or 5 minutes left in the show. Anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, like anything, it's wanting to hear from you. The listeners, I'd like to hear about some thoughts about what you want to learn about. This is a learning show. This is about challenging the listeners about how to protect themselves better. I'm hoping the next show or two that we're going to talk about relationships, backgrounds, checks on relationships, and how the millennials as well as the baby boomers have kind of changed with relationships themselves, talk about investigations. Like anything, I think the stories really kind of tell it all, and that there's some stories there that I'm going to share with the listeners about some of the investigations I've done in the past and some of the outcomes and some of the things you got to kind of look towards when you're dealing with different companies, relationships with individuals, and how to kind of approach the pathway to success.
So security can be an interesting field, and in addition to being a very serious one, we try to present that perspective here and make sure that you're informed and want to get involved. That's probably the best way. If you're interested in what you're talking about and what you need to get done and what you're paying for, because you do have to pay for security, you'll definitely be a more effective consumer. And can also share that knowledge with your friends and relatives and neighbors. So on a future show, Ed, we're going to talk about investigating somebody that you know, maybe dating at the workplace, your neighbors, and maybe some helpful tips and maybe some stories that you can share with us.
I'm looking forward to it, Adam.
Thank you very much for listening to The Protector Show with security expert Ed Johnston, producer and co-host Adam Lepp. Last but not least, Ed, tell our listeners first, there's our website, theprotectorshow.com, which has more information about you, archives of previous shows, and some other interesting tidbits. But tell us how to get in touch with you at your business, and just a quick rundown of what you guys do over there at API Security.
Well, thanks, Adam. Once again, we want to help our listeners if there's a need. And like anything, if we can kind of help solve those problems, we usually think outside the box. We don't always take everything on. Sometimes I'll just walk away. And I think that's usually where I've kind of come with the reputation that if I'm going to take something on, we're going to do it right. In calling us, once again, to be proactive, is to give us a call at 614-310-1980, extension 3, or email us at info@apisecurity.us. And thanks again, Adam, for this opportunity and the listeners in listening to this broadcast. Thank you.
If you have a question or a comment, suggestion, or a different viewpoint, we'd love to hear from you. Just send me an email. That's probably the best way, because I read my emails all the time, adam@wwgh1071.com. Thank you for listening to The Protector Show with security expert Ed Johnston. Listen every Friday morning between 11:10 a.m. and noon for this important new show here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. For more information on Ed and the show, please visit theprotectorshow.com.